Hi, dear listeners. Today's episode is crucial for every business owner and leader. Whether you are a small business or an established company already, the insights you are about to gain from this episode can really transform the way you approach recruitment and marketing. And I am very glad to welcome Laura Geissin, our guest here today. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Very good. So we are happy to have you here with us. I know that you have over a decade of experience in the field, but please introduce yourself to our listeners because we want to know what do you do and who do you help?
Yes. Hello. I have almost a decade of experience.
Oh, okay.
Almost a decade. I specialize in recruitment for small businesses. The ones who are just starting out, maybe looking for their first employees. And I gained my first experiences from companies like H&M, which is, of course, global. And then also Skybrof, which is doing rope access here in Estonia. And then I branched out on my own and have been doing recruitment under Personalileida, or in English, Personnel Finder, for a few years now.
Okay, so you are mostly helping small businesses, but today we will talk about the topic that can touch like every company. It doesn't matter
yes.
if that's established already or not.
Yes, of course. The same principles apply to everybody. So it doesn't matter really whether you are a very small company with like a few people or you have a few hundred or a few thousand people. The same principles still apply.
I love that. I'm excited already. So I want to begin with exploring first why employer branding is vital, even when you are not actively hiring at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the first thing you can do as a as an employer is to ask the people you have in your team already, why did you decide to apply here? Why did you decide to choose this company as your employer? And the things that they say, they might be of surprise to you. For example, for a lot of my customers, it's been that, oh, I've seen your stuff on social media, or, oh, hey, I heard some good things about you from a friend of a friend who works there, or, you know, word travels a lot. And it does really make an impact on the person if they have seen you on the news, if they have seen your ads and they like them. So that's already how marketing and recruitment are kind of connected. And the image that you put out, it kind of sticks to people, even if it's just like subconscious. If they see your logo enough, if they notice your ads enough, then at some point you're going to create an impression in their minds. And then that can, you know, make or break your next recruitment campaign.
So you actually never know when can somebody actually notice you and your company, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And even the experience that they get as a customer can also make them think about applying for a job, or in a negative way, if they have a really bad experience, they might never ever want to apply there for a job.
So what to do with this experience? Because I have heard the saying that people join your company because of, you know, the company itself, right? The values that are aligned and so on. But people are leaving because of the leader usually.
Yeah.
And that is very risky if people just leave you and they don't give you feedback, because this is also that builds your, you know, brand outside of your company. I mean, if I just leave you, I will talk negative things to other people about your company.
Yeah. Asking feedback is something that you should do in every stage, even if you're doing the recruitment campaign. You can ask for feedback. For example, why did you decide to apply? What have you heard about us? What do you know about us? When the campaign is over, you can ask for feedback, like how did you like the recruitment process? How can we improve it? Then, of course, when you have the new employee, you can ask them, was your expectation met, for example? Like, mm-hmm. what did you expect when you applied to this position? And now that you have worked here for, let's say, a month, is it what you expected? Or do we need to change something, discuss something? And of course, all the time, it doesn't matter how long the person has been working with you, even if it's like 10 years, you still have to regularly check up on them mm-hmm. and ask them how they're feeling. Are they still, you know, engaged? Are they still interested? Do they still want to continue on with the working relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so on. And also when the person decides to leave, you should always ask them for feedback as well. For example, why did they decide to leave, and then what they think you could have done better. It could be something totally unrelated, like maybe they need to move or they have like a family situation or whatever it is, but still you can ask them because once they have no ties with you anymore, mm-hmm. They tend to be more honest as well. They have nothing to lose, you know, they're not worried about their job, even if they say something negative. So you might get some really good insights. So mm-hmm. the moral is like ask feedback in every stage of the working relationship.
Okay, so it sounds like a lot of work, let's be honest, because I heard onboarding, I heard holding people, you mm-hmm. know, to, and also offboarding.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with recruiting right now, you know, how to recruit the like the top talent and the right people to a company. Let's say they are already, you know, applied for a company. How should one actually recruit a team member?
Oh, there are so many steps.
Okay.
I'll try to go through like the most crucial ones. It all starts before any campaign is ever mm-hmm. published. So you need to have a really clear picture in your mind as a leader about who it is exactly that you want to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same as in marketing. You need to have this perfect persona in your mind. You know, they can have a name, an age, even like looks, personality, hobbies, interests, and of course the things that you can read out from the CV. So if you know exactly who it is that you want to find, then you also know how to choose the best channels. So in marketing, you know, the marketing channels, and in recruitment, the recruitment channels. Like, is it more logical to use like the big recruitment portals, or is it more logical to use social media? Should you have like some kind of very specific headhunting campaign, and so on and so on, and then you also know what messages you know speak to those people. So, for example, there's no point if you want to hire like say a 22-year-old IT guy, you shouldn't put an ad on a paper newspaper mm-hmm. In some like small region of your country. But if you're looking for someone very stable, maybe a bit older, who is looking for a job until they go to pension in like 20 years, and the work location is like in a very small town somewhere, then the local newspaper might be the best option.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know your persona, and then you can choose the channels. And then, of course, it depends on the role, how many steps you need to have. But something I definitely recommend is first, of course, an interview. There are some nuances about that. You should always have like a prepared, let's say like a base document where you have the same questions, the same script that you want to ask everybody. And then, of course, some practical tests as well, and something to test the personality.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it can be like DISC tests. It can be some other type. There are so many good alternatives.
So I need to stop you because
yes.
there is so much. and I want to clarify some things. I agree, it's great when you have a clarity about, you know, the persona you're looking for. But let's touch for a second clarity around the position as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I see companies looking for marketers, they usually want to have one person who does pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should know everything about how to build a marketing strategy, how to do, you know, tactical activities on a daily basis, and how to build copy and how to build a website, and, you know, like pretty much everything. So do you see that is it like a big mistake when we are trying to recruit people in our companies?
I mean, it can be. If you are just starting out mm-hmm. and you're looking for this one person who does marketing, mm-hmm. a little bit of everything might be your only option at the moment. But you have to, you know, think logically and accept the fact that if this one person does everything, this one person cannot do everything on like the top level. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you want like a specialist with like really deep knowledge, then it can't be one person for everything. It needs to be like a team of specialists. Mm-hmm. And of course, when we talk about recruitment, I mean, nowadays, you don't have to take one full-time employee. You have so many other options. You can use virtual assistants. You can have part-time people. You can have independent partners who are, you know, subcontractors, basically. Mm-hmm. You have so many like mix and match options, and a lot of companies, even my own clients as well, they use this model already. So you have perhaps a few full-time employees, you have a few subcontractors, you have like smaller contracts, bigger contracts, and it's really, really flexible this way.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And mix and match, right?
Yeah,
that was
mix and match.
I love that. So I also agree that you should understand your target audience and the channels and how they perceive information. But the way I see that when we are, you know, hiring a team member, it's all about the mindset, the skill set, even the tool set. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on, I believe that there are like majority of people who are actually deciding where to go, you know, which company to join based on if the values align with this company.
Mm-hmm.
And my own mindset is that I should hire people with whom I have the same values and, you know, we are on the same level with our values, and it's easier to teach, you know, the skills, and it's easier to find out the tools together, and I'd really like to hear your thoughts here about that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Unless you are hiring, let's say, like a heart surgeon, then I say that always the mindset and the values are of a higher priority mm-hmm. than the skill set and the tool set. Because the skills and the tools, you can always, as you said, figure out together. Mm-hmm. You can teach them. If the person has a growth mindset mm-hmm. and they share your company values and they have a good attitude, mm-hmm. then they can learn anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the time, there's always something that you need to teach. Each company has their own specific tools that they use, specific ways that they approach things and so on. So it's never like you have someone who's like packaged goods, you know, like you take them out of the package, you sign their contract and they're like 100% ready. It's never that easy. You always have to teach them something. But let's say if they have like all the skills that you want, everything that they need to do the job, and then they have a really bad personality and they do not understand or share your company values at all, then what good is it that they know everything
mm-hmm.
if they're gonna mess up relationships in the team with your clients, if they're gonna maybe start conflicts, and they're gonna leave soon anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely personality first.
That's a good point. So let's continue with this interview part, because you already started mentioning a few things, right? There should be an interview and some practical tests. You were mentioning also personality test.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that very much. But the way I see that is that every interview is a two-way street,
mm-hmm.
right? So tell us a little bit, how should we build the structure of one great interview?
Well, I mean, the first thing is always an introduction.
Mm-hmm.
So let the person know how long it's going to be, what you expect of them. Is there anything really special that they should take into account? For example, if you want to have like group interviews, You should always tell the people beforehand so that they're not taken like completely off guard. And yeah, you should always prepare like the same structure for everybody. I mean, the questions that go into it, this can be like a whole other podcast episode, but a few things that I always recommend to add is something to get them thinking in a specific work situation. For example, I mean, the first thing that pops into my mind is when I first applied to H&M myself, it was, oh, so many years ago, but they had this great question. Imagine the situation. You walk into the, you're working in the store, and a mom walks in with a small child, and the small child has an ice cream, and the mom is looking at clothes, and the small child is walking around with the ice cream, and you know, going against clothes and leaving stains everywhere. What do you do? And that's like a great question if you're hiring sales advisors, you know. So whatever the situation might be. That this person is expected to need to handle on their daily tasks, you know, ask them what they would do. And they don't have to know the specifics of the job. They just have to have, again, like the right mindset of how they approach the problem. And then also something to ask about their productivity. So for me, it's quite pointless to go and waste the whole interview on, oh, what have you been doing in your previous jobs? What you should be asking is, what kind of results have you been producing in your previous jobs? What kind of long-lasting value have you, you know, done, achieved, created? If you leave your current job, what is going to stay there to remind everybody of, you know, what a great employee you were. So what is like the lasting impact? And you want to see if the person has noticed any problems themselves, if they have had the initiative to brainstorm solutions to those problems, and also if they have had the initiative to actually, you know, do the solutions that they have brainstormed. So go through with them and really not just say like, oh, hey, I have some ideas, but actually just solve those problems by themselves without anybody having to tell them, oh, okay, yes, you need to solve this problem now. So this is the type of person that, you know, is always the best type of employee. And yeah, so ask them, what kind of results have you been producing?
That's very good. So situation, what you were mentioning, and about the results, as you just talked. That's good. So coming back to the fact that an interview is always a two-way street. So, but oftentimes, the people who we interview, maybe they are too nervous, or, you know, they don't know what to ask, you know, how to help them in that situation. Do you suggest that to your clients at all, to help people that are coming to an interview?
I mean, yeah, when you do the introductions, it's always good to have maybe like a small icebreaker or just to reinforce them like, it's okay, you know, you don't have to be nervous. We're just going to talk. This is not the only thing that plays a role in the decision process, for example, also. And when you finish up the interview, that's the part I didn't get to, then also like let them know what's going to happen, first of all, you know, when you're going to come back to them, when you're going to let them know about the next steps, how you're going to let them know about the next steps. Also thank them, of course, for their time. I mean, to apply for jobs is really time consuming and energy consuming. So always, always, you know, thank the candidates and yeah, respect whatever you have promised them, and always let them ask their own questions as well. That's also something you can mention right away. A lot of the times when they are nervous because they have some, you know, on clarity, is that a word? They need to ask something from you as well. And if you tell them right away, like, hey, I'm going to ask my own questions first, and then you can ask your own questions too, and I will answer them, then, you know, in this moment, you're going to put them at ease right away. Mm-hmm. So they know that they have this time for themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very good when you start an interview already with a structure. Mm-hmm. That here is, you know, what you can expect from this meeting today.
Yeah.
So they would know what to expect. That's great. So you also mentioned the tests.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the practical test and the personality tests.
Mm-hmm. Let's take the practical tests first. So you want to see the person in action, mm-hmm. so to speak. If you have like a hands-on job, of course, the easiest thing to do is to ask them to come to wherever your premises is. And then let them do something, what they would be doing anyway. So try some kind of a simpler part of the job,
mm-hmm.
and then just see how they approach things. Again, they don't have to know everything. Like a lot of the things can be company specific, and there's no way that they can mm-hmm. know it. But you can see if they are, if they take initiative. You can see if you need to tell them every single step, or if they, you know, manage to find their own tasks, if mm-hmm. they finish the previous one. You can see how fast they think, how fast mm-hmm. they react to changes, and so on. And if you have, for example, like an office job, then it can be done remotely as well. You can send them like some kind of homework, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Or for example, if you have like customer service, you can pretend to be a customer. Of course, tell them beforehand, like, I'm going to pretend to be a customer. I'm going to call you with this issue and you're going to try to resolve it. And then, you know, you have a small mm-hmm. role play, a game of sorts.
But should we inform before an interview people that we will do practical tests as you come there? Because otherwise it might be too unexpected for them.
I would suggest to keep those two things apart.
Okay.
So keep them as totally separate stages of the recruitment process.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it would be like first, okay, like the initial screening, you go through the CVs and so on. And then you do a shorter interview, and then you do the practical tests. Then, for example, the personality tests.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe if it's needed, another interview, for example, with like the head of the company or whatever. It depends like how big the structure is.
Mm-hmm. Those are some great tips. Is there anything else you want to add before I'm coming back to the onboarding and offboarding? Because I...
Yeah, the personality tests.
Mm-hmm.
Of
course.
Yeah. They will make more sense mm-hmm. if the whole team has done them beforehand. So even if you're not even thinking about recruitment right now, then take your whole team and all of you do some type of personality test. There are free options, there are paid options. Each of them has slightly different, you know, measuring techniques,
mm-hmm.
but they all give you some kind of baseline. And you can compare your results. You can go through them with the team, you know, go through who agrees with what, you know, what hit the mark, what missed the mark. And then you have this comparison already. Mm-hmm. So if you start recruiting, then you can also already know, for example, what type of personalities you have already in your team and what types you don't have. And of course, a good team is one that has different types of people. If you only have people who are like great at starting things and you have no people who are great at, you know, pulling things through, then you're going to have a problem because nothing mm-hmm. is ever going to get finished,
yep.
you know, and so on. So it's always good to know beforehand what types of people you have in your team already, and then what type of person you would need to complement mm-hmm. the team that you have.
Yeah, and I use that myself because I have studied this, right? And also I see during the interviews, people are very excited themselves because they get to know themselves better. It's also, I have received some great feedback for doing those personality tests. And coming to the practical test, when I was hiring an assistant, I also did a practical test, and I just told them to Google some information for me, and I gave them like 10 minutes, and I wanted to see how they will represent it to me, you mm-hmm. know, and what are the facts that they decided to show me. So that was very interesting, and it really gives you an idea how they work. So mm-hmm. it could be something like, you know, Google this information for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very good tip.
Mm-hmm. And with the practical tests as well, one thing to keep in mind is that also you need to know beforehand how you are going to evaluate them. Mm-hmm. So you cannot go, you know, person by person. You need to have some kind of checklist of things that you are looking for to keep it objective mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and fair.
Yeah, that's very good. And also when it comes to personality types, you were mentioning that we should have different types of personalities in our companies. I agree with that. And this is already something you can use when you are trying to clarify the position, right? Mm-hmm. You can already write in that I'm looking more analytical person or yeah. know, something else, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a part of the persona that you're creating, mm-hmm. the personality. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if you already know about different personality tests, mm-hmm. you can mm-hmm. already even mark like the identifiers. Or if you haven't used them before, or you're just starting out, you can just, you know, describe the personality mm-hmm. and then the tests will come afterwards and you can put the two and two together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love that. So those are some great ideas, but I want to circle back where we started, and that's marketing, right? Mm-hmm. how are recruitment and marketing really, you know, aligned, and why we should think of the branding already, even if we don't, you know, need anybody right now to our company.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that worries me is that there are companies who, you know, maybe in the interview they're doing a great job in, you know, showcasing who they are and what they're doing, but still, you know, the actual the actual face of them will you will see that when you have worked there, not mm-hmm. before. And if it's not, you know, the same what you expect it to be, then of course you will be disappointed, and that's already bad for your branding and marketing overall.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the things you'd like to say for the businesses and business owners especially who are listening to us right now? Because oftentimes they are, you know, promising the things that maybe they are not, you know, ready to actually
deliver
in real life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do not overpromise. Isn't that like one of the mm-hmm. basic things of marketing as well? Mm-hmm. The same applies to recruitment as well. Do not overpromise. It would be a lot better if you underpromise and overdeliver.
Exactly.
Yeah. And everything starts from within. So, for example, if you have a product as well, you can have the best packaging, the best ads, the best marketing. But if the product itself, it mm-hmm. sucks, then, you know, word is going to travel and people are not going to buy it soon anymore. Mm-hmm. And with the workplaces, it's the same thing. If the culture is rotten, mm-hmm. then people are going to know about it. I mean, what's the first thing that anybody does before a big change of some sort? For example, say a big purchase or a job, you know, they're changing a job. The first thing they do is they're going to talk with the people closest to them, and they're going to ask for feedback. Like, oh, hey, I'm thinking about buying a new car. What can you say, you know, about this brand of car? Mm-hmm. Like, is it durable? Is it comfortable? And if they are looking for a job as well, they're going to ask around, you know, oh, have you know, do you know anybody that has worked in this company or this field? What have they told you? Are they happy there? What do they like? What do they not like? And so on. So, yeah, everything starts from within. And if you actually do have a good company culture, if you actually treat your employees well, you know, give them what you promised them and so on, then those people are going to become your recruitment agents, let's say, your brand ambassadors, they're going to be proud and tell everybody that they love working in your company. And of course, the opposite is true as well. If they don't like something, most likely they're going to talk to everybody else before they talk to you, because, you know, they need the job. They don't want to lose it. So if you don't have a good feedback culture where giving and receiving feedback is like a daily, totally normal thing, then, you know, everybody else is going to hear the bad things before you do.
Yeah. And different studies have showed that it's 7 times more likely that people will go and tell negative things about a product, service, or a company, if you will, right? Compared to, you know, talking about positive things. Of course, we do that as well, but not so often. Mm-hmm. And I can see why it is so important. So I agree, everything starts from within in one company. Please tell us, Lara, where can people now find you and connect with you online before we wrap it up here today? We will, of course, put the links next to the episode. But if listeners now are thinking that I want to talk to this Lara because she has some great ideas and she has, then how is it best to connect with you?
Yes, thank you. My website is personalileidia.ee. If you put -en at the end, then there is an English version as well. But I mean, I guess this word might be complicated. So if you are an English speaking listener, the most easy way is to find me from LinkedIn or Facebook. It's my name, Laura Kassin, K-A-S-S-I-N.
Perfect. And I do suggest you to connect with Laura because I know she shares some very valuable content. But how would you like to wrap up this discussion here today? Maybe there's something we didn't touch when it comes to, you know, recruitment and how important it is when it comes to branding and marketing your business.
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing is, of course, that everything comes from within. Mm-hmm. But whatever you communicate to people outside of your company, or even within your company, they're going to communicate it to their families and friends and so on. You always have to remember that anything you say is going to travel if it's, you know, even the slightest bit interesting. So even if you have a new product coming up, it might be interesting to someone who is looking for a job and that product really resonates with them. Like maybe it's like sustainable, for example. They want to find a company that provides sustainable things, so they want to apply for a job there. Or if you're looking for people and you're offering them like 50% less salary that is normal for this type of job, then also people who are your customers, they're going to see like, oh man, they really treat their personnel like really badly. They pay such low salaries, like, maybe the product isn't all that high quality that I thought, you know. I don't want to support this type of company if they pay their people, you know, not enough. So anything you say is connected. So it can be that your marketing message becomes your recruitment message and vice versa.
I love it. Everything is connected. So before we finish here, Lara, please inspire us with a song and with a quote you have taken with us.
Yes.
For us.
So my song is Hell of a Place from a band called Autovon. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it right. This band hasn't been active for over 10 years.
I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, I imagine it's really, really unknown. I found them totally randomly from a YouTube suggestion like 15 years ago, and I'm so happy that I did. So definitely check them out. Mm-hmm. This song is like 7 or 8 minutes long, but it builds. It's worth it. If you like alternative rock, then this is definitely a gem. And my quote is from Mel Robbins. So start before you're ready. Don't prepare. Begin. This is something that my mentor told me, to just get started, and you're never going to be like 100% ready. So just do it and you will learn as you go.
Well, thank you. And you also brought in Just Do It right now from Nike.
Yeah, that's a really good A really good tip and a really good slogan.
Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No one wins alone. Be connected, supported, and inspired inside the powerful marketers community.
Find the link in the show notes.